Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here, and so are you, and we thank you for it. 414-799-1250. You can reach us anytime. Shoot the breeze, as you would say. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, Facebook, Instagram as well. Been cooped up in the house for a while, broadcasting from home. The last person that I interacted with in any way outside of my property and outside of people in my immediate family that live in this house was Tim Allen a couple of weeks ago. Tim, I came up, picked some equipment up from you. You are the last person that I have seen and interacted with. You have that honor, and you'll probably have that honor for a long time yet. How are you?
Hanging in there. And yeah, it wasn't a good day for me that day. All of this situation it sucks. And we all want to get back to work. And you guys are doing a nice job there, kind of towing the line and keeping the ship afloat.
There's a lot to talk about still between just life and what's going on and how we adapt to it, and then sports that are trying to trickle back, games that are trying to happen again. But when I was saying that you were going to come on here today, you should be on tonight anyway, and you should be on last night. You should have been on about 15 days in a row already on the station with the postgame show and the various pregame shows. Do you, like today, the Brewers, I believe, should play the Reds. When it's 5 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tonight, do you have that thought like, oh, they should be playing the Reds right now? Because I kind of don't. We took a fork in the road. We're in this new world. And the more that I try to do that, Tim, the more depressed I get.
It's interesting, Bart, that you bring that up, because I agree, and I'm with you. I really don't. I'm just now starting to watch a little baseball with the older games, and MLB Network is running a lot of classic games, and certainly Fox Sports Wisconsin has been doing that as well. Last night they were airing the 13th victory in a row from 87, and so now I'm starting to ease back into the baseball. Was rather bitter, and again though, We have much bigger challenges than Tim not doing an on-deck show or a post-game show, for sure, and we all can agree with that. But I'm with you. People on their updates and things like that, and Horvat, you say the Brewers would have been playing the Reds or whatever. Tonight, I'm not following it that close, because it then is reminding me of what we don't have. But, we're going to get out of this, and there was some encouraging news, Bart, that the MLBPA and the league at least getting some sort of decisions on the board, or potential decisions and some strategy and some exit strategy out of this thing. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging for everything.
Well, there was a report yesterday late, and it's already been met with some criticism from somebody on the Milwaukee Brewers, Brett Anderson, tweeting about it. Jeff Passan says that Major League Baseball and the MLBPA are trying to focus on a plan that could have players back in training camp by May and games soon thereafter. And the idea is return to Arizona and try to play some games there. One of the things in this article is you would have to leave your families for an indefinite amount of time, perhaps as long as 4.5 months, and Brett Anderson tweeting, it begins and ends right there. So if you're going to have games at a secure location, you've got to make sure that people that do come in there don't test positive. And then you got to make sure that they don't have the ability to interact with people that are testing positive. And if you're going to send guys all to Arizona and pretty much quarantine them there, they are not going to see their families unless you bring them in, which is then more people in the mix, more people, more people, more people. So while it's good that the leagues are trying to figure it out, I'm almost with Brett Anderson. I mean, if I'm a player, like if you tell me I have to do this job for 4.5 months and I can't see my wife or son for 4.5 months, I don't know that I'm doing that job, Tim.
No, and that's up to him. And instead of, you know, that's the thing with a lot of these ideas, both with baseball and basketball, and certainly we're going to cross that bridge with football and other sports. But it is up to the individual because it is tougher times here. And Brett, you're more than willing to stay home. Don't work then. Then we don't pay you, and you can sit home. At some point, we have to look at these ideas and embrace them to get out of this thing. And I understand the personal safety, and that's fully on him. That's fully on you too, Bart. Look where you're at. You decided to shift on the fly here and to do the shows from a remote location, and that's fully understandable. But Brett Anderson, I can tell you this, you can certainly stay with your family. If the MLBPA and your bosses, MLB, as well as the Milwaukee Brewers, have decided that this is the way to go, well, then you can make your decisions. At some point, we have to embrace the positives instead of shooting holes through all ideas, which is a common practice these days, I've noticed. And it's certainly tough times, and I get that. There's some negativity out there. There's no question about that. But at some point, we have to look at the positives, and the knee-jerk reaction to the negatives is something that we're going to have to get out of really, really soon, both in sports and in life.
But in this particular case, it's 4.5 months without your family. I mean, that's as knee-jerk as it gets.
For sure. No, and I understand fully. I fully get that, and he's willing and able, and he's made his money, and he can make that decision to stay home. And that's I think that MLB and some of these other leagues will give that option to players because I think it's a fair option. It is. And people can make their decisions based on their particular situation. A lot of these players, Bart, as you know, are young dudes. They're young single dudes that want to work. We all want to work. You want to work. I want to work. We all want to get back to work. We got to make sure it's safe. And if there are decisions and you're walking that tightrope and you don't feel comfortable with it, that's the cool thing about this. You can decide not to. And some of these players, if they decide not to do this, if this comes to fruition, they should not be penalized or retaliated against for making that decision to stay with their family.
Talking with Tim Allen, and it's good to hear your voice. Again, the Brewers season could be about a week and a half, 2 weeks in right now, and we'd be getting a lot of Tim Allen, but not the case. In your experience down there, I mean, you were there during the week, and if you go back and listen to Spring Training Live, which you guys did each and every night, it was just fascinating. And then our talks with you, Monday, we were strictly talking baseball. Tuesday, baseball, but now there's a concern about this thing. Wednesday, you got to back off from the players a little bit. Thursday, there's no season. I mean, that experience right there had to be unlike anything you've ever gone through before.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I was it was like a new story every day, and to be caught in the middle of that when it was occurring was certainly fascinating, and it was significant in much bigger ways than we ever thought at that time. But it was fascinating being there and being in the middle of that and seeing everybody adjust. And I think, you know, the organization, the Brewers and MLB, they did it the right way, and we all had to adjust. And it is a life of adjustment now, but that was crazy times. Crazy. I'll never forget it, Bart.
See, I'm willing to wait a little bit. I don't need the season to rush back in May. I mean, now, a month from now, I may feel different because there are no sports. Watch WrestleMania this weekend. We have the NFL draft. That's it. There might be a UFC fight on Fantasy Island or somewhere. God only knows. So there really are no sports. I think what you're going to see the leagues do is try to balance, well, we want to come back safe. We want to come back. And when we come back, we want to come back. You don't want to come back and then somebody tests positive and you got to scrap the whole thing again. But also, you do kind of want to be the first league to come back because that's where a lot of the fanfare will be. And so I wonder if one of these leagues will rush it a little bit when maybe they shouldn't be.
Yeah, and I agree with you. We have to make sure the decisions are right. We have to make sure the decisions are fair, and we have to make sure the decisions are safe. And somebody's going to have to crack the seal at some point. And I think, Bart, in the grand scheme of things, certainly based on all the information that's out there, it's just a little early now. Yeah, it just is. And so, but at some point, someone's going to crack the seal. And, you know, you don't want it to affect another season. And that's the thing here. You want to minimize the damage, if you will, of, you know, like basketball, they're in a precarious situation because, you know, you go back in August and September. Heck, when does basketball training camp start? What, October? Late September, October range? And so now you're going to dip into next year's season and affect that. So they've got.
I think that's okay, though. I think you finish. If the NBA takes 2 years, you finish it. The start of next season next year means nothing to me. Just
yeah,
move it back.
A lot of people do say that NBA games is just kind of playing out the string, in essence, at the front end in November and December. No, I understand that. But, you know, the consensus, I think, to some of these league commissioners is that, yeah, man, you know, are we gonna screw up the following season? But baseball, you know, here's what I think is ultimately going to happen, and maybe it's just wishful thinking, and as this curve flattens a little bit and we start easing restrictions a little bit, I think you will have games at Miller Park later this year. However, would it not be a decent idea to do it in levels, whereas, you know, we allow 3,000 people in to adhere to some social distancing at Miller Park, and we roll with that for a homestand or two, and then the following homestand we elevate that to, you know, 7,000 to 9,000, so you can keep distance away from each other, and you can sell the tickets accordingly based on some distance between the sections or the seats or the rows. I think that's the approach they're going to make. They may start it in empty stadiums out in Arizona, as we discussed, but maybe a stepladder approach and ease ourselves into this thing. Baseball, guys, over 100 years, and you know, with the weather getting better, and maybe that helps, maybe it doesn't. There's some debate on that, but it's been in the fabric of us for a long, long time. And what a better sport to kind of open the door a little bit to some more positive thinking, if you will.
What's interesting for me during this whole thing is, as we talked to Tim Allen here on The Fan, whatever the show's called, I don't even quite know. Doesn't matter. It's just guys talking sports. That's all that you guys are interested right now. Is the way that people approach different situations when they're out. Like, for some reason, I think, so the election's today, and a lot of people are mad about it, and I think that they should be. You're putting a lot of people in a few locations where they could have a risk of exposure. We get it. Everybody that's mad about it gets it. Oh, I'm going to be out in public. I could get the virus. But then, like, the grocery stores are packed, and some of these other stores are still packed, and those aren't safety zones. I mean, you still have to take precautions. So I'm wondering, where I'm going with this is, when people start coming back to Miller Park, I mean, even if you let in 3,000 people, how do I know that these people are all safe, that they're all asymptomatic, that they don't have anything? Maybe they do have it. If they use the bathroom, am I using that bathroom? If they use the ketchup thing, am I using the ketchup thing? It's going to be a while before I think. Yeah. I know it's going to be a while before I'm comfortable going back into a situation like that again. And I don't know if I'm baseball, I don't want someone to come in there, get it, die. I'm getting sued.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's going to be a while, Bart. We all understand that. It's going to be a while before people feel comfortable getting back to, a beer kiosk at Summerfest. I mean, it's think about it. Think about your trips to Summerfest and your trips to Miller Park. You are packed in there. You're packed in there. You know, there's a lot of sweat flying around. There's a lot of things going on. But you're right. That is going to be up to the individual at some point in time. And it will be a while. I know my girlfriend says there's no way she's going to any sort of concert or sporting events, mass assembly, if you will, for quite some time. That's an indefinite decision that she's going to make down the line. I fully understand that. I do. I get it. There are tough times not only in sports but again just in life. This is an adjustment for everybody, and it's just we're gonna have to see how it plays out. I mean, it's just tough. It sucks.
Tim Allen's here on the Fan with us. I'm Bart Winkler. So if let's say it comes back, let's say baseball comes back, and they are pressed against the clock or whatever, and they still want to finish the World Series within the calendar year 2020. So they have a 60-game schedule or like a World Cup-like round-robin tournament or a format, and they do crown a champion, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers. Does that count the same to you?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? We're Brewer fans, man. We'll take
it. Counts the same to you as a 162-game slog of a season?
No,
and a quick playoffs?
No. It doesn't matter. I was, like I said, I was watching that 1987 game last night, and my son asked me, he goes, 13-0? Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't know that? And he said, no, I'm 13-0. And I go, they never made the playoffs that year. They didn't even make the 13 games over 500. No, they went ahead and lost 12 in a row in May. We take that. And then I said, well, in 2008, that was when they cracked the seal, a 26-year playoff drought. All of that means we'll take this, whatever it takes. I mean, think about a wild card team like the Nationals that went ahead and won it all, Bart. Is that blemish to the Cincinnati Reds or the Oakland A's of the 70s? Nah, yeah, I mean, it's still a title.
That was always the biggest shock to me. I always remember that, just digesting as much Brewer information as I could as a kid. And maybe I was 5, maybe I was 6. I do remember, though, because we have a post. I have this poster in my house. I've referenced this so many times. It's a poster in my house, and it's in a frame. And it says Brewers 13-0 on it. And we used to have it in our basement. And I remember saying, Dad, how did they do that year? And he said they didn't make the playoffs. I was stunned that a baseball team could start 13-0 and then not make the playoffs. But they're a team streak for a reason. So that was always – I just always remember that.
It is, and not only these tough times are, tough, obviously. But you reflect. And you do, and watching some of these games, for example, again, like that game last night, I sat there and was where I was in 1987, and then I start, you're watching these players, and I was taking inventory of all the players on that field in 1987 that I've interviewed or had some interaction with, and it just reminded me because... Yeah, I've been going through a lot of football and baseball cards throughout this, and it just was anywhere from Tom Treblehorn to Andy Etchebarren to Dale Swaim was on that field, and obviously Molitor and Yount, and Cooper and Gantner, and Bill Schroeder was the catcher of that era. So it is a point of reflection also, but those of you that collect baseball and football cards, now's the time. You got a little time on your hands? Grab some boxes. Help yourself. It's pretty cool.
I really screwed that up because last summer is when I went through all my old cards and I reorganized them all and I put them all together and then I sold some of the ones in bulk, some of the commons that I wasn't going to do anything with. And I got a good collection that I'm excited to show the little boy someday if he's got any interest at all. But I should have done that now. And you told me just now, but I wanted to talk to you about this anyway, going through old cards. Cards are sort of making a comeback. There's this, like, really, everybody does it now, where they open a pack of cards and open them live on Periscope. And everybody's kind of doing it again. And I think people are buying the old cards rather than the new cards. So there's an interest in, and it's not like, oh, I want to get a Ken Griffey Sr. card. I want the thrill of opening that old pack again like I had when I was a kid. And if there's one thing that makes a comeback, man, I hope it's that.
Yeah, the market has been, it's fluctuated a lot. And by no means am I an expert. I'm not. I've talked to one of our sponsors, Waukesha Sports Cards, and have done broadcasts there, and I've talked to Rob and about a lot of this. In fact, I called him a year or two ago when I started an inventory process of all my cards. There's tens of thousands of cards here, and you don't know. We're not experts. We don't know. We all want the Tom Brady rookie, right? We all want the Hank Aaron of the Milwaukee Braves cards, but what are the other ones worth? I mean, we're finding, what are the Ryan Sandbergs worth?
Nothing. You know,
that's the thing, and
they were bulk produced. That's the problem. All these cards that you collected in the 80s and 90s, I mean, they were bulk produced, and they're not worth anything. I showed up to my guy Rick over at Name That Card on 92nd and Blue Mount, and I said, oh, I got a ton of Ken Griffey Jr. rookies. He goes, yeah, so does every single person in America. You know, and you're like, oh, my God, this is worth $1 million, and it's not. The cards that are worth money, if you really want to make money, you have to have an old card from like the 60s, maybe earlier, and it's got to be in good shape. It can't just be Ernie Banks with a bend. It's got to be, that's really the only way on cards that you're going to make money. Now, you can make new memories. That's great, too. But to make money, you're going to need some of those. So if they've been sitting around in boxes, Tim, you're probably not going to get rich during this.
No, and I fully understand that. The real, it's all, I call it prospecting in my basement here. We're gold miners, and what we're doing is we find, you know, mid-70s football cards. We've noticed that there is a little bit of demand for those cards now, and you're right, condition is everything, but an Ed Too Tall Jones rookie card, or John Dutton, a D lineman, All Pro for the Indianapolis Colts. Some people are massing these sets together, and they're missing a common, a Joe Delamalure, someone, Nick Bonacani, or someone like that. And so they will pay a little bit for them. But you're right; it's the '60s. You know, my two Mickey Mantle cards, my '58. Mickey Mantle cards are in great shape, and certainly that's going to demand. But I find it interesting that there's a Tom Brady rookie out there, and it's a numbered card, one of 100. And apparently those are the cards to get. Well, what were you doing in 2000 and 2001 when he was a rookie? I was throwing that in the chump box. I mean, who knew who Tom Brady was going to be? So
yeah.
Potentially, could I have that card? And what's encouraging is I have the brand, I have the year. So I'm thinking, could I get lucky and get a $200,000 card in here? You never know. It's, you know, this again, it's reflection. It's a lot of things. And I love the cards. I love going through the cards. Some of them, you're right, are absolute garbage, and you'd think they'd be worth money. They're just simply not.
I know. I was so disappointed because I did think I was coming in there at first. Because the first thing I did when I had all these old cards from like the 50s, and I looked at them, and then I looked them up on the internet, and it said like Hank Aaron, I'll say. And it said, or like Eddie Matthews, I had a bunch of him. It says like $30,000. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then by the time that it's adjusted for this bend and this bend and this bend, it's worth like $60, but the most that anybody will be willing to pay for it is $15. So that's the problem that I ran into with some of these old cards.
It's driving my son crazy when he finds a card like you say, and you look up some of the price sites, and you say, oh, Emmett Smith, it's $10,000. Then you look down, and then, yeah, someone's willing to pay $17.99 for it. I looked at years ago the Guinness Book of World Records, and I stared at that Tom Dempsey, rest his soul, just passed away, had the longest field goal forever. And I looked at that, and then I said, well, Tom Dempsey cards, are they going to be worth anything? No, they're not, although he sat in that Guinness Book of World Records. So it got me thinking, just a few years ago, Bart, I'm on a mission, and this is an announcement, if you will. I'm on a mission to make the Guinness Book of World Records for the most Milwaukee Brewers baseball card collection. I have literally thousands of Milwaukee Brewers cards.
Do you have a lot of police cards?
I have the oldies sets, and to see, you know, Gorman Thomas on a leaders, you know, league leaders card, and to see Hank Aaron, his his record breaker card, and he's standing there in a Brewers uniform. I mean, those are things I will never give up. I don't care. You could put a $5,000 price tag on that card. I'm not going to get rid of it. So I'm on a mission to make the Guinness Book of World Records for the biggest collection of Milwaukee Brewers baseball cards on the planet.
Well, the one card I won't give up, it's an 80s football card. I have it. It's like in a frame on my bedside table. It's a police card of Gary Ellerson. And I look up, I go to bed every night and I give it a little kiss. And then I wake up and I say, Gary, we're gonna tear down this day, my man. You and me, just two jokers in this great big rock that we call Earth.
You guys wouldn't let me draft him on my station fantasy football league team. I mean, come on.
Maybe next year or the year after that or whenever football comes back, we'll let you do anything. Tim, it's good to catch up. Be well. Keep finding reasons to wake up in the morning.
I want to talk about a two-run double by Jed Jerko in the seventh inning to take the lead over the Cubs. I mean, I want to talk about Sogard laying a bunt down, moving a runner over, and Keston Hira knocking him in. I want to talk about Josh Lindblom going 6 1/3, outstanding baseball tonight, 4 hits and a couple of runs. And I want to talk about Josh Hader with his second immaculate inning. Those days are coming, guys. Just hang in there.
I'm going to play MLB 2K tonight, or whatever the hell it's called. If you want to sim a game, I can.
The show.
The show. Thanks, Harvey.
Also, Tim, don't forget this virus is the only thing that kept Logan Morrison from hitting 40 homers this year.
and Horvat, hey, I've noticed something. You're like Prince. You're like Madonna. You're like Cher. You don't have two. You have one name, and it's Horvat.
I called him Ryan the other day. It felt weird.
It is weird. Just he's Horvat, and that's what he is.
Yeah, I'm just glad we got the VAT part and not the VAT anymore. So we're making
Ryan Horvat.
Here. Next, we'll get Gutekinds' name all across the station right, and then we're.
I think
your
bosses still call you Horvat.
Yeah, that's fine. They can call me whatever they want as long as those checks still clear. A little bit of money that they do pay me.
And there it is. All right, Tim, be well. Hey, you're making more than Tim right now.
That's true. that's true. Guys, call me anytime.
Thanks, Tim.
Tim Allen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good to catch up with Tim, who, again, I mean, should be on the air each and every night, but this is the way of the world with this pandemic. Do want to remind you guys, Great Midwest Bank, has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We've talked a little football. We've talked a little baseball. Let's talk a little basketball. Brooke Lopez and the guys talking on a conference call this weekend about what they're up to. Brooke Lopez adapting a lifestyle that I think a lot of us have as of late. We'll hear from him next on The Fan.
My sleep schedule's gotten a little off right now, so I've been getting up a little later than normal. It's kind of been going, I've been kind of getting up 30 minutes to an hour later each day. It's been interesting. With nothing to go to, being kind of on my own time, it's messed me up a little. So I've gotten to the point where I've been getting up at around noon or 1, and then falling asleep at like 5 a.m. and getting my workouts in at midnight. So without having contact, you know, with my teammates and coaches and, you know, doing things normal people do, I've kind of lost it over here. But, you know, still holding together, still getting the workouts in, still doing well, just at a different time period right now.
That's Brooke Lopez of your Milwaukee Bucks, who went to bed about 4 hours ago and won't get up for another 4 hours. So Brooke Lopez works out around midnight every night and then goes to bed at 5 a.m. and then gets up around 1. I mean, what is he supposed to do? I mean, he's got nowhere to go. And some of you are like that. Some of you still working. Some of you working but from your home. But for a guy like Brooke, I mean, he's got to get a workout. He can do it any time. He doesn't have to go anywhere or do anything at any time, and he also can't. Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, Giannis, all jumping on and talking with the media earlier this week. And Lopez, so his schedule is all out of whack. The fact that he's stuck at home, he's okay with that because he's kind of a homebody anyway.
I honestly wish I had some more exciting things to say, but you know, for me personally at least, I'm a big homebody to begin with, so other than going out to practice and going to games and whatnot, I stay at home a lot anyway. But even for me, it's just been a lot of being around the house, trying to find stuff to do, getting workouts in at the same time. You know, I'm super thankful. You know, I've had Wiz and Suki reaching out, helping me out with workouts that I can get in from home, just to keep from going a little crazy here.
He's talking about members of the Bucks training staff there. Brooke Lopez here. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. You know, for like the last 2 years of the show, we've talked about a lot how much we like being at home anyway. Mm-hmm. But part of that reason was we like being at home, comma, to watch sports on TV. Now that there's no sports on TV, you know, being at home isn't what it used to be. It's still, I mean, I still love home. I mean, I'm not itching to leave at this point yet. Cabin fever hasn't really hit me. Sometimes I'll just step outside to breathe in fresh air, but for the most part, I'm doing okay. Are you in the same boat?
Yeah, I mean, you never root for a virus to sweep across the world, but I mean, it sucks because when we're
stuck. No, you never do. No, I never once have rooted for that.
Well, no, but my point was, like, the last couple of weeks during the NCAA tournament, imagine being quarantined in your house. You're forced to stay home and watch college basketball all day.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty nice. You know what I'm kind of concerned about is that we're all staying home, and imagine, like, if you already have anxiety, I feel like some people may never leave the house ever again, even when this is over, because they're just, I'm not going to say getting comfortable with it, but now you're going to be afraid of catching a virus or spreading germs. I feel like a lot of people may never leave their house again.
Yeah, I retweeted something from Pat McAfee, and one of the things that I think is good about this is it can let us reset. So he says this COVID-19 quarantine feels like an opportunity to reset. How you handle things before doesn't need to be how you handle things after. So like all the BS that we go through, let's try to eliminate some of that and come on this on the other side. That's your positive outlook message for the day, which I know is why people woke up and turned us on their Alexa to hear me on my soapbox. Okay, one nice thing that Brooke Lopez has done and all the Bucks have done, and we talked to Peter Fagan about this yesterday, team president, is they stepped up and made sure that the people that aren't able to collect their millions, some of the people that work in the arena that aren't NBA players, they're all being taken care of thanks to Brooke Lopez and the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I'm obviously proud of you know, my teammates and Chris Giannis for leading the charge and, you know, just doing the right thing, doing the little that we can to help these people. Like Giannis said, we see every day and we interact with. you know, who might need this help. And it's just, our way of giving back and, you know, showing how appreciative we are for, you know, every day that they've been there for us this season, you know, at those home games and events, whatever it is, you know, when they're there for us, you know, when they're there for us, you know, during the season, we obviously, you know, we're trying to be there for them now.
Brooke Lopez talking with the media this week. It's 8:47 in the morning. He works out, if you missed it. He says he goes to bed at 5 a.m. He gets up at about 1 p.m. and works out around midnight. So what are the kind of workouts that the Bucks have been giving him?
You know, they've been sending workouts pretty much every day through the Bridge app, just helping us get our weights done, doing core stuff, conditioning stuff, really doing a good job getting everything taken care of, and still having tailored workouts for each individual player, you know, despite the situation.
It's good that they're working out. I mean, you want to stay in shape if you're a professional athlete, and that's what you get paid to do. But they are going to need some time when they come back to get back into basketball shape. Again, it's one thing to be in shape, but then you got to be in basketball shape. Brooke Lopez and these guys are trying to figure out, you know, how that might be once they get to that point. And then when is that point going to come? We've kicked around so many ideas. Dana White's trying to have Quarantine Island. Baseball may play in Arizona. At least there's ideas that are being suggested. What ideas, if any, has Brooke Lopez heard about to this point?
I've heard a few different things. Nothing super concrete. Again, you know, the union and the league have both done a good job of keeping in contact with us. But I think it's still something that's not really, again, concrete. But it's something that obviously Adam Silver and the guys at the league are working on with the union. The resume up, again, is obviously the plan, I'm sure. But it's something, you know, like Chris has said, like Fletcher said, you know, this is a serious matter right now, so obviously we have to do what's best for everyone. And so, at the time being, you know, we haven't heard anything super concrete at this point.
Brooke Lopez, who may or may not have been playing ping pong while giving that answer. So the thing with the NBA and the schedule here is with the NBA, I mean, the schedule is what it is. You would think, oh, well, there's games supposed to be tonight. Just get back, finish the regular season, go right into the playoffs. Obviously, that can't happen because, as I mentioned, these guys do need to be in some sort of shape. So how long does Brooke Lopez think that he would need and the league would need to get back, get ready, get raring to go?
You know, I think the answer might be slightly different for each and every player, but, you know, for me personally, I think I, you know, feel pretty good just maybe, you know, with a week or so mini camp. I don't know if guys want to hear the term of a training camp or a mini camp or something like that, but, you know, a week of pretty good practices, maybe a game or two preseason and go from there. But, you know, obviously this is me just throwing something out there. You know, I'm sure Adam Silver and everyone on his end obviously have a more well-thought-out and educated plan than I do. But that's just how personally I feel comfortable, I guess, resuming the season.
The Bucks are trying to stay connected with each other. They've got a group chat going on where they text each other just like you might with your coworkers or your friends. The Bucks do the same thing. But then they've got their head coach, Mike Budenholzer. Brooke Lopez, as he mentions here, has not talked with his head coach too much.
You know, I'm sure the other guys have heard from Bud. I think I've maybe got a text or something from him, something like that. I heard from John Horst. I got a call from John Horst, but I don't know where Bud is. Bud could be, I'm sure he has some sort of like wine cellar, wine dungeon down there where he's all right. You know, he's set up for a while. He probably has some sort of projector or screen down there where he's drinking wine and watching film. That's probably my idealized situation for him, I'd imagine.
We're prepared to get a phone call from every day at 9 a.m. down in the morning.
9 p.m. would be better for me, not 9 a.m.
Chris Middleton chiming in there. We'll hear from him a little bit later in the week, possibly tomorrow. Also talk some more football. Channing Crowder will join us 8 o'clock tomorrow. We'll talk some of the TV on the NFL tomorrow. We'll hear a little bit from Adam Silver tomorrow. So we'll get a lot of stuff going on tomorrow as well, as we're here 6 to 10 each and every morning on The Fan. Is it a problem that Mike Budenholzer and Brooke Lopez have not communicated? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Should we have done the Giannis doesn't have a hoop? Should we have taken 30 minutes of calls on that yesterday?
No, absolutely not. Who cares? It's Giannis. He's going to be able to still Euro-step his way past anybody, take two steps, get down the court, and dunk on anybody. I feel like that's just kind of the... I like the relationship between Brooke Lopez and Bud, where it seems like sometimes Bud wants to kill Brooke, but he's a veteran, so he obviously trusts him on the floor. But they got a pretty dynamic relationship between the two of them. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things being sacrificed here. They're not talking. It's very sad. But he's probably right about Bud with the wine cellar, and he's probably got a wine cellar in his wine cellar, if what we know from his days down at... Where does he like to go?
Bill? The Calderon Club.
Yeah, him, Bill, and Darvin Ham.
And Gino. Gino runs the place. One time they were actually there. So get this real quick, Bart. So one time they're there. They're at the Calderon Club. All right. Gino's there. And all of a sudden, Bud's there. He's just eating dinner. Michael sees them. They go. They have a bottle of wine, maybe two bottles of wine.
Yeah, of course.
Get this part. Naked bicyclers. They come riding their bikes. And Bud's like, what the hell's going on? Michael's like, what the hell's going on? And then that was it. You know, there was some naked bicyclers just rolling downtown by the Calderon Club.
So they're, I'm trying to process this. They're out to eat.
Yeah.
Separately.
Yep.
But then they see each other.
Yep.
Get together.
It's like a meeting of the two families, like in a mafia movie.
And then, randomly, they see people naked on bikes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We should maybe dive into that a little bit more. I want to know, you know, what was going on. They do those naked bicycle rides. Like, I see those all the time. First time I saw it, I was in shock. Now it's just like, whatever it is. But yeah, imagine just sitting there, eating some pasta, nice bottle of red, and boom, you got Coach Bud. You guys have a nice conversation, then a bunch of naked people pop out. Weird.
Hey, speaking of naked.
Yo, yeah.
So, how much are you showering?
A lot, actually.
Really?
I keep seeing that on social
media. Well, you're going out in public, yeah.
Yeah. What I do, so I got the gloves on, and the gloves aren't, obviously, you could still get all the germs and whatnot. I wear the gloves because, like, it reminds me not to touch my face, because when I'm in this building and I get an itch, I want to scratch my nose. So I keep the gloves on. When I get home, what I do is I get the Clorox wipe, which I can't find any of right now. In fact, if anybody does have Clorox wipes, I will trade. 414-799-1250.
Yeah, I need toilet paper.
Yeah, we could do that off the air, though. What I do is I walk, and it's not like I'm working in the hospital or anything, but I got this idea from my sister-in-law. I just walk into the house. I take my pants off. I take my shirt off, my clothes, and I walk up the steps naked and jump right into the shower, wash my body, go back down a little bit later on with gloves, pick those clothes up, take them right into the washing machine, and toss those bad boys in there because, right, I mean, there's nobody else in this building. Radio Joe comes in, Heffelfinger comes in, but still, I'm not taking any risks going out in public. And then, I don't know, man, if this stuff attaches to your clothes. We keep hearing all these different reports. I don't really know, but I'm not going to risk giving it to my family just so I could come here and, you know, talk Brewers for 4 hours.
5 hours. With the pregame show.
Oh, yeah, 6 hours, because I get here an hour early, and then I usually get stuck 7 hours.
Oh, my God, that's almost an eight-hour day, Horvath.
Yeah, just like everybody else in the country, which actually I prefer my days to be like 14 to 15 hours, but right now I'm just trying to get home and stay safe.
Yeah, I guess when I would shower too, but now that I've been at home for 3 weeks, oh, man.
I have given up deodorant, though. Like, I smell very European. My wife actually smelled me yesterday, and she said, didn't you just shower? Why do you smell so bad? And I said, well, what's
the
point?
Given up brushing my teeth.
Oh, God. You should continue to do that because you could you get that bad boy infected. You could get heart disease, and you're not able to go to the hospital for any regular problems right now. So you might want to continue to brush your teeth. And it's tough to get into the dentist right now. My son had one more cavity to go took us 3 weeks. It almost got infected. He's got two cavities, two more than I've had in my entire life. Luckily, they're baby teeth. But, yeah, he couldn't even get into the dentist office. I felt awful. Because, like, we forget about that, man. It's tough to get you just regular. I can't get my allergy shots. That's why I was sick for, like, 2 weeks, sneezing all over the place. Finally, I feel a little bit better, thank God. I was about to start giving myself allergy shots. I tried my hardest because my aunt, you know, works at a hospital, and she's like, you can't do that. You do it wrong, and it could be big trouble. But, yeah.
Yeah, imagine how mad I was when I found out I couldn't go to my dentist appointment. I was like, oh, no, my teeth.
Hey, everybody loves the dentist, right? Yeah.
I must go. It is a morning show. I'm Bart. That's Ryan. Again, I don't know what
it's called.
We're talking sports here. We'll talk to Rob Reichel next hour about the Packers, and then we're going to talk to Scott Miller, Bleacher Report. More on the thing we talked to Tim about, this proposal to maybe play all the games in Arizona. And if they do that, you're probably going to have to quarantine the players there, and that could mean months without family members. And Brett Anderson of the Brewers already saying he ain't about that life, son.
Dog.
So we'll talk about that coming up, and we'll take a look at that all-decade team as well. It is the Fan Morning Show. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath here on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.